Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today we'll be talking to lifelong anti-war and social justice activist, Albany, New York resident, Joe Lombardo, about United National Anti-War Coalition, UNAC's call against further U.S. intervention in the Ukraine. So stay tuned and we'll be right back with Joe Lombardo. Joe Lombardo, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you, Cindy.
It's nice to talk to you. So you belong to an organization called UNAC, and you're having a mobilization. I guess it's a national, international mobilization against U.S. intervention in the Ukraine. But before we get into that, can you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and about UNAC?
Sure. I've been more or less involved in peace activism and activism in general all my life. I was born into an activist family of union organizers, and I was a staff person for the National Peace Action Coalition.
Uh-huh.
Two major anti-war calls in the Vietnam War period. I got involved right away when the U.S. Invaded Afghanistan and then Iraq in the anti-war movement and organized a local anti-war group up in the Albany, New York area where I lived. And then as things went on and the sentiment grew against the war, but the movement itself was kind of declining. And as Obama was running for office, many leading anti-war leaders and anti-war organizations in the country were feeling that there was a victory in the Obama campaign. We saw the mass mobilizations of the dispersed election, especially in the black community. The anti-war leaders felt a little bit reluctant, even if they were a little bit concerned about what his politics would be, to oppose him at that point or oppose U.S. policy at that point now that we had a new president in. And UNAC, a number of people in the anti-war movement saw that, and we called a conference in Albany, New York, which was attended by about 800 people, including all the leadership and all the major anti-war organizations in the country. And after that came UNAC with the concept that regardless of who was in the presidency, we needed to continue an anti-war movement. We also did it because we understood that war was really endemic to the political and economic system that we have now as our economy became more globalized and globalization became the central product of our economy, and also as we were moving more towards neoliberal policies, we understood that part of the U.S. military would be to impose those kinds of schemes on the rest of the world, and so that war will continue to be part of the politics and policies of the United States, and so we needed to have some kind of structure in place that would continue to fight against the war, and we knew there would be opportune moments in the future when we will be able to get large numbers of people active and hopefully what the government did. So that was the purpose of UNAC. And UNAC is really just a coalition of local groups around the country, but we made significant international contacts also to the work we've done in the last few years.
Well, and what does UNAC stand for?
UNAC stands for the United National Anti-War Coalition. Sorry.
No problem. So great. And Joe, the reason we're talking today is because UNAC is calling for a mobilization against further U.S. intervention in the Ukraine. And we've done several shows on Cindy Sheehan Soapbox recently about what's really happening in the Ukraine. And UNAC to me is significant because of some things that you said. There's been some major U.S. foreign intervention since Obama has been president. You know, I'm thinking of Libya. I'm thinking of what's happening in the Ukraine right now. And it seems like people who would have opposed it if, say, somebody like McCain or Romney were president, or if Bush were president, they're finding many, many ways to justify U.S. intervention, thinking that Obama is saving these people somehow. It's what they call humanitarian intervention.
Yeah, I don't think there's much difference between the Bush administration and the Obama administration. I mean, sometimes between the Democrats and Republicans, they play a role of good cop, bad cop, but really
right.
to push the same kinds of policies. And if you really look at the policies, in many ways, the Obama administration has been worse in terms of the deportations of undocumented workers, in terms of war. You know, you have to remember one of the first things that Obama did was push for a surge in Afghanistan, which fell very flat on its face. He actually put more troops in place.
Mm-hmm.
Not fewer. And his war moves all around the world have been terrible, not just Libya. Remember in the fall he threatened to bomb Syria, and it was pulled back because there was just tremendous international sentiment against that, and it stayed his hand a little bit, but he's never changed his policies on wanting to intervene in Syria. There's a pivot to the Pacific and Asia, which
right.
would to encircle China, which is an economy that is coming into competition more and more with the United States. There's been a huge upsurge in Africa, and all these different things you hear in the media are meant to confuse us a little bit about the fights going on between the Muslims and the Christians in the various countries. The United States has a hand in every one of them. We have troops in 35 African countries. We have AFRICOM, which is the U.S. African Military Command. We play a different role than we did in Iraq and Afghanistan. The United States does not weak. Friending military leaders and armies, giving money and arms to certain groups over other groups,
right.
those policies, and causing the destabilization of the whole area and the kind of terrible wars that are going on a regular basis throughout all of Africa. But the Ukraine is something similar. But the Ukraine also has a greater danger in it, because Ukraine puts us in direct conflict with another nuclear power. It's not a government like Afghanistan, one of the poorest governments in the world, or even Iraq, which did not have any kind of power to oppose the United States. It was just the people who were building an opposition. It wasn't the military and army that opposed our army. But in Ukraine, we find something that could be different, and it's really brinkmanship. It threatens nuclear war. It happened with Russia before, when Russia was the Soviet Union, when there was the thought that they were putting missiles in Cuba, which was 90 miles away. The United States went crazy and almost brought us to World War III over that.
Right.
But for some reason, they think when we put NATO right on the border and the Ukraine right on the border with Russia, when we said we wouldn't do that, and we've already done it in a number of countries where we said we wouldn't do it, that we think they should not be threatened by that. But that is what's happening. And the United States has played a big role in everything that's happened in the Ukraine since before the Orange Revolution, which took place in 2004 and 2005, to try to move the Ukraine more into the U.S. Orbit politically and economically, and to be able to exploit the people and resources of the Ukraine. We've had 40,000, the United States has had 40,000 NGOs in that country that have been basically pushing pro-Western policies and giving money to small groups of people to do various kinds of things. It's one of the ways the U.S. intervenes these days is through NGOs. They're all over all the countries that the U.S. wants to have influence in. We also gave $5 billion to the opposition in the Ukraine, and we all saw the Undersecretary Nuland went to the Maidan protest handing out cookies and things and basically saying, go ahead, we really appreciate what you're doing. You're doing great stuff. Go ahead and overthrow the government.
Right.
It's a that to one of our Occupy demonstrations, like Occupy Wall Street, if the Cuban government or one other government can keep it up, overthrow the U.S. government,
right.
There's an intervention into our affairs, and we have intervened into their affairs. And Nguyen wanted this guy, Yatsen, up in power. We heard the conversation that she did on the phone that was intercepted, and Yatsen is in power. So the person that the U.S. wanted in power is in power, and along with him came a whole very right-wing pro-fascist government that's against Jews, that's against the Russian language that's being spoken, that's looking for Ukrainian purity, and is also very, very willing to buy into all the economic and military policies of the United States. So that's what's happening in Ukraine. And it's really a dangerous situation. And there's a lot of resistance, a tremendous amount of resistance, which you don't hear much about in the U.S. media going on, especially in the eastern southern parts of the country. That's where the real hope lies, that they will be able to fight back this coup government that exists in Kiev.
Well, the U.S. is playing, of course, the Obama administration is playing on a decade-long, misinformation, demonization of the USSR and Russia, but it seems like Putin is trying to be the rational actor in all of this.
Well, the United States has troops in about 150 countries. Russia doesn't. Russia
right.
has a different kind of economic and military stance and structure than the United States does, and is really feeling threatened by this. And it should be threatened, because a lot of what the U.S. is doing is really focused at Russia. It's trying to undercut some of the energy policies and other economic policies and Russia has strong links to Europe through energy. It has the biggest reserve of natural gas in the world. It also provides a lot of the construction steel for Europe and many other products. It also is a huge market for Europe. And the United States would like to undercut that. And we're trying to do it. We're actually exporting energy. We're exporting the oil that we're getting from the upper part of the Midwest. We're starting to have Canadian tar sands oil come through the United States, and that's all being used for export. And we also, our oil companies have now bought into the Ukraine, the energy companies, and have a huge contract with the new Ukrainian coup government, which is a legitimate government.
Right.
To frack all of Ukraine, and fracking is a terrible, destructive process to the earth, to try to extract natural gas from shale rock and things like this. It's terrible wherever it's been used. And we're going to impose that on the Ukrainian people. But a lot of it is an economic attack on Russia. So Putin is in a defensive mode. We try to project him as the aggressor in this country, because we always do that. But the U.S. is the aggressor. And Putin's in a defensive mode, and that's one of the reasons he looks more sane than what our government is doing. It seems to come out with the right solutions. Let's do diplomacy, not war, here and in Syria and in other places. That's just the nature of the beast of what's going on.
Well, Joe, yesterday I just read that Joe Biden's son is going to head the largest oil company in the Ukraine now. Is that a coincidence, I wonder?
Oh, right. A real coincidence. Very, very interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Things are so blatant in what the United States does these days. Sometimes it used to take us a long time to figure it out, because there was so much cover-up and under the table and everything's nothing is told to the American people. Everything is classified. And if you try to unclassify it, like Chelsea Manning did, by telling the truth, you get put in jail for 35 years. But this is what's going on, and we want to exploit those resources, and we're putting in the vice president's son as the director of the largest energy company in the Ukraine, which is very interesting.
A Oh, yeah, I know. It, like you said, it's just so blatant. I just, you know, I'm not threatening any violence or anything, but it seems like if this were 18th century France, they'd be like wheeling out the guillotines by now. It's just so extraordinary. It seems like what a direct conflict of interest. It just couldn't be more direct. And Joe Biden even like talked about it. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, it is true. I think the problem is that a lot of people are starting to see this. I actually think the consciousness of the American people is greater than it was any time in my lifetime, that people trust the government but don't know what to do. And there's a lot of confusion. There's right-wing groups that are being formed to try to, take off some of that anger and distrust of the government in the same way that right-wing used in Ukraine. But we're not organized. In the progressive and the left movement, we're not very organized. And that's where UNEC tries to come in. We try to become a force that will help organize us to the point where we can collectively do whatever it takes to do to change these policies and make a difference. And where that will lead us, I don't know. But wherever it leads us, that's where we're going.
Well, not only are we disorganized in the left, we seem like every time there's a Democrat in the office, we demobilize ourselves. And it might be a lot of the reasons, like you said, might be because Obama's black. But I think that is just also another excuse for us to allow Democrats to get away with things that we wouldn't allow Republicans to do. It's not like Obama wouldn't be doing the things anyway. It's just that there's not much opposition to his policies. And I get, you know, Joe, I was not one of those leaders that said, let's give Obama a chance. I never demobilized myself, but I keep getting emails still from right-wingers who say, where are you? You know, why aren't you protesting Obama? Well, you know, obviously I am, but yeah. I don't blame them for the right-wing to be frustrated with the anti-war movement.
Yeah. First of all, right-wing radio talks to them about this, that the left is doing nothing, the left loves Obama.
Yeah,
it's not really true. And, so that's one part of it. But the other part is the media doesn't cover what we do.
Right, exactly.
The media will cover lots of other things, but it will not cover what we do. The media on this Ukraine crisis is very similar to the media that led up to the Iraq war,
right,
where groups like FAIR that always monitors the media and what it does, you know, came out leading up to the Iraq war saying out of 500 stories on Iraq, there were 498 or something like that, I don't remember the exact figure, that were pro-war and that were pro-weapons of mass destruction and all the different lies that the government was telling us.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is happening now. You remember Judith Miller, was that her name,
right,
in the New York Times,
right,
who just told lie after lie after lie about weapons of mass destruction, and they finally fired her and made an apology at the end. They're doing the exact same thing in the Ukraine. You know, and these right-wing, right-sector, pro-fascist group invaded a peaceful encampment in Odessa and then burned down the House of Labor building there, killing many, many people, more than was reported in our media, with fire and with shots, and as people tried to flee the building and jump out of windows, they beat them to death on the ground. The New York Times didn't report it that way. They just said, oh, right and left are fighting in Odessa, and there's a lot of people killed and hurt. So they consciously try to not tell the truth, and it becomes very, very difficult for people to get the right information. I believe that if people had the real information, had the right information, it'd be a gigantic outcry. And ways we have to get information out through the internet and through our websites and through radio, internet programs like yours and the very, very few others. It's just a pinprick compared
Absolutely.
To the entire, lies of the media in this country. And that's some of the reason. The other reason in terms of the elections is we have an election system that's set up against the people. We
mm-hmm.
have two pro-business parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, and it's very, very difficult to get in most places in the country a third party on the ballot. And even if you did, if nobody has the kind of money to really run a serious campaign. There's very few that can do that. And so that the electoral system becomes not a way for people to express their discontent. In fact, it obfuscates their discontent because it says, see, this person was elected, or see, this person was elected. I mean, people hated the Vietnam War, but they elected Nixon at one point during the Vietnam War. And it just meant nothing. It was just, people didn't know how to express themselves in the election campaigns. And it's much worse now,
mm-hmm.
now that corporations have really taken it over in a more serious way than they have before. So when you see people voting one way or another, it's not really a reflection of what they think. And it is true, there's so many people in this country that don't understand history and how things have been changed through mass actions and mass movements and struggle, and they think it all happened through the election campaign because that's what they learned. And so they look to these politicians as the way to make change, and that's just a buffer to make sure that change doesn't happen, not an avenue to make change.
Exactly. Well, another key piece of the Russia-Ukraine situation is I've been reading a lot that if the U.S. increases the economic sanctions, and like you said, Russia is so intricately involved with the economies of Europe that it really harms our quote-unquote allies, these economic sanctions also. But that Russia is thinking of trading more oil in the ruble. And still their position on this is that they can't do it totally. It would be impossible to go totally trading their oil and natural gas in rubles. But, the more and more that they do and more that they get major economies like China to go along with that, the more harm it'll also do to the United States.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that things are traded in the dollar is a great advantage to the United States, which is such a big economic power. But the United States is in real, real trouble. If people do things like that, just like Saddam Hussein was decided to use euros rather than dollars.
Right.
That infuriated the powers that be in this country. More and more, the U.S. is going to see big problems. The U.S. is doing so much brinkmanship everywhere. In the war issue, it's bringing us to the brink of nuclear war and this confrontation that it's instigating in the Ukraine. On the global climate change, it refuses to take anything seriously in terms of changing that, so it brings us to the brink of perhaps the destruction of the world and our climate. And in the economy, everything is bubbles. People are if you just read these schemes that they do, the wealthy make money off bubbles. They create bubbles, make money, then the bubble busts and people and the general population loses money. And the entire stock market is one big bubble where gross domestic product, 40% of it is just these economic investment schemes which have nothing to do with the production of goods and services. So at any moment it could bust, as we saw in 2008, but be much worse. Maybe we won't be able to bail it out with U.S. Taxpayers' money, bail out these rich corporations anymore. And so there's so much brinkmanship that goes out goes on. But the U.S. is in real trouble, and it's one of the reasons why it's doing these wars, because it needs to monopolize the resources, it needs to get the cheap sources of labor, it needs to monopolize the markets in order for its economy to still grow, and it's creating situations that are eventually going to come right back on it, and it's going to be worse for all of us unless we make a major change.
Okay, Joe, so thank you for all of that. Now, can you tell my listeners about the mobilization and where they can get more information, sign up, endorse your call, find a local protest or start one if there's not one that's local?
Yes, that's exactly what we'd love people to do. You can go to the UNAC website, which is unacpeace.org, UNACPEACE.org, and there'll be several links right up on top. One is the actual wording of the call, and underneath that is organizations and prominent individuals who have endorsed, and then there's another link underneath that which shows actions that have been called so far, and a number of others will be put up there soon. They're in the process of being put together right now, but if there is one in the area where people are, I urge them to get in touch with the organizers, organize it together and not separately, and join it. And if there's not one, to create one, whatever they can do, whether it's a vigil, a larger demonstration, a teach-in, a forum, leafleting in corners, whatever people think their organization has the strength to carry out. They should do it, and right on that website they can click on a link which will give them a form to either endorse the actions that are taking place or to inform us of another action that is taking place. And you know, that call was actually translated by a Russian-speaking newspaper in Donetsk in the eastern part of Ukraine. And then read at a large Victory Day rally that they held. Victory Day is a day that's celebrated throughout Eastern Europe as the day that the Nazis were defeated. And it used to be celebrated all throughout the Ukraine, too. But this year, the right-wing government in Kiev decided not to celebrate it, probably because they have many pro-Nazis in their own government.
Yeah.
And, but it was celebrated in the East and the South. In some places, at the celebrations, the Ukrainian right-wing forces and military that they've sent in shot and fired at the demonstrators. But in one city, our call was read out. And since then, every time I open up our email list for UNAC, I'm seeing some in Russian and some in English, tons of thank you notes, and we support what you're doing. Can we endorse it? The Ukraine. So there's stuff happening all over, and it's been taken notice of also in some other countries. Hopefully soon UNAC and the Stop the War Coalition from Britain and the Canadian Peace Alliance will put out a unified statement that we're working on right now against what's going on in the Ukraine. So the major imperialist powers, the anti-war organizations, and many of those countries will be putting out a joint statement. And we hope we can build a movement. You know, it was a little bit easier to build one even around Syria, where there was a lot of misinformation that when Obama announced he was going to invade Syria, you know, we put out a call then, and we had, you know, almost instantly over 100 cities did something.
Right.
We're much lower on Ukraine right now because people don't really understand the Ukrainian crisis. But in many reasons, it's the most dangerous war moves and crisis that we've seen in many, many years. So people, if they go to the website, unacpeace.org, they can see the information. They can figure out ways to involve themselves in it and hopefully build other kinds of actions.
Well, Joe Lombardo, thank you for your work and your perseverance, and thank you for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. It was great to talk to you again.
Thank you, Cindy. It was great.
All right. Good luck.
Take care.
That's Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox for this week. I really hope you go to unacpeace.org. That's unacpeace.org. And get involved in this very important mobilization. Let's show those right-wing, I want to say idiots, but that's not nice. Let's show those right-wing, knee-jerk, reactionary people that we mean business and we are anti-war no matter who's president. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar, my production assistant, Dee Dee Miller, my occasional help, Mikey. I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting the show. And speaking of supporting the show, go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com and donate if you can, whatever you can. I'd like to thank Joe Lombardo for being my guest today and for all of his work. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.